Good to see everybody this morning. This is our last message on the power of thanksgiving. It's going to be from Psalm 107. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. I read a great article. I'm going to quote from it today by Max Lucado. And I found it in all places on Fox News Service. And I have a confession to make. The way I found the article is, you know, on your phone, it's like they've got CNN, Politico, Fox News, all these things. Then they show you a headline, and you pick one which we want to look at. Fox News had a headline about the opening day of bear season in Pennsylvania, and a guy shot with a pistol a 679-pound male bear. I found that very interesting, so I clicked on the article and wanted to read about it. And in the course of that, I saw this opinion article by Max Lucado, which was great, and I was so happy that it was like published at a major news source because it's very biblical and very Christ-honoring. So let's look at Psalm 107, the whole, not the whole psalm, verses 1 through 38 are in the back of your outline. Actually, let's read verses 1 through 9 together. This is the New Living Translation. So please read with me. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell others he has redeemed you from your enemies. For he has gathered the exiles from many lands, from east and west and north and south. Some have wandered in the wilderness, lost and homeless. Hungry and thirsty, they nearly died. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble. And he rescued them from their distress. He led them straight to safety, to a city where they could live. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he has done for them. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it applies to us today and inspires us with truth that we need to hear. I pray that you would use me to inspire faith in your word today, and that we would all have a greater zeal for honoring you by thanking you for your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we have been studying the power of thanksgiving, I've read almost every week about studies on gratitude or giving thanks. Last week from Time Magazine, these are some of the things they said happen from practicing gratitude. It can make you more patient, improve your relationships, cause you to take better care of yourself, help you sleep, control impulses like overeating, help you make better decisions, help ease depression, and give you happiness that lasts. So if I could come up with a drug that had that effect on people, I'd be rich really fast, right? And so I love how psychologists and social scientists find out that something God commands us to do has this effect on us. It's not just a theoretically nice idea. So the first point on your outline is God knows what he's doing when he's commanding us to give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything or in every circumstance give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Today, we're looking at Psalm 107, which famously states, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. All right, so Ed got us going earlier during worship with a response. Okay, so I'm going to do something to keep you from falling asleep today, all right? Hopefully, it'll be a good message. But if it's not, whenever you hear me say, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, your response is, his faithful love endures forever. All right, let's try it again. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. All right, well done. Spoken with energy. I love how the New Living Translation says, has God redeemed you? How many of us have been redeemed? Yes, we've been redeemed by the Lord. He purchased us. He ransomed us. He paid the price that it costs to free us from sin. Well, speak out, or let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So the next point is it's our responsibility to speak of God's goodness to others. And so this psalm talks about four different types of people that God has rescued. Now, when it says from the east and the west and the north and the south, what is the psalmist writing about in that verse? What are the God's people being rescued from? Exile. Very good. They'd been scattered. Why were they sent into exile? They were disobedient. They turned to idols. They turned away from God. And so the response to that, well, God said, okay, then you're going to get the consequences of your actions. But when they cried to him, he restored them. And that's the whole theme of this psalm. So if you've ever wondered, if you've strayed too far from God, if you've been too foolish, or you're too far gone, I have good news for you. You're not. Praise God. So here's the first example. What is the first type of people in distress? People who wandered in the wilderness. They're lost. They're homeless. They're hungry. They're thirsty. They nearly died. One translation says their soul was fainting. Have you ever felt like your soul is just fainting? You're wandering. You're lacking purpose. You're lost, or you've gone astray. Even after you're a Christian, you can feel that way. What can you do? Cry out to the Lord. And I love how the New Living says, Lord, help. Sometimes the greatest prayer is just two words. Lord, help. And what does it say? He rescued them from their distress. God hears that prayer. There's power in crying out to the Lord. Do you see that in the fill-in? Lord, help is a great prayer. God loves when people call on him. God loves when people are desperate and they really need help and they really pray with some earnestness and some energy. It's like, good. Now you're in the position that God wants for you. You're looking to him for help. It says he led them to safety. He let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he's done for them. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. We used to sing a song. He fills the hungry with good things. Blessed be the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he's good. All right, it took a second, but you got it. His faithful love endures forever. I love that passage. He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. How many of you remember the old Mick Jagger song from the 60s? English, no, but I can't get no satisfaction. It's a terrible song. But that's how people feel. People feel that way. And people are looking for something to make them happy, to satisfy them, to give them purpose. And Jesus is what they're looking for. Jesus said, the devil comes to steal and kill, and that's what happens all the time, to be destroyed. I come that you might have life and have it in abundance. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. So we can praise God that when we cry out to him, he satisfies our hearts. So when I was praying this morning, I'm saying, Lord, satisfy the desires of people in Abundant Grace Church. All of you are praying for certain things. There's certain things you hope will happen. And so I'm praying for that too. I want to see God answer your prayers. Now, what do you do when you're in a hard place through no fault of your own? Okay, sometimes we can feel like disoriented because things have happened to us that weren't our fault. So what can we do? Well, in the article by Max Licato, he had a great story. He said, my friend Jerry taught me the value of gratitude. He's 78 years old and regularly shoots his age on the golf course. His dear wife Ginger battles Parkinson's disease. How many of you have known someone with Parkinson's disease? It is a terrible disease, and people become shaky and they lose their muscle control. What should have been a wonderful season of retirement has been marred by multiple hospital stays, medication, and struggle. There are many days she cannot keep her balance. Jerry has to be at her side. So there you're thinking, oh, we're going to retire together. It's going to be great. You get Parkinson's disease. Yet he never complains. He always has a smile and a joke. I asked Jerry his secret. He said, every morning, Ginger and I sit together and sing a hymn. I ask her what she wants to sing. She always says, count your many blessings. It goes on to say, name them one by one. So we sing it, and we count our blessings. So, by obeying the Lord, this man found grace and strength. And he was cheerful and happy in the midst of years of difficulty. Can we imitate his faith? Let's look at Joseph in the Bible in Genesis. What had Joseph done to deserve slavery in jail? Nothing, okay? His father favored him. That wasn't his fault. That produced bitterness in his brothers. They were jealous. He shared a dream that God gave him. That led to increasing jealousy and being sold as a slave by his own brothers. He resists an adulterous woman, is falsely accused by her, and ends up in jail. In jail, he interprets a dream for a cupbearer who's serving right next to the king. The dream comes true. The cupbearer is restored to his position. He pleads and said, please remember me to Pharaoh. I haven't done anything to deserve being in this jail. What happens? The guy promptly forgets. 2 years go by until Pharaoh has a dream. They need someone to interpret it. They call up Joseph from jail. They clean him up. He interprets the dream. And he ends up at the right hand of Pharaoh, ruling over Egypt. A most remarkable story. So the cupbearer forgotten him, but God had not forgotten him. Do you think Joseph felt like God had forgotten him? Yeah. Do you think Joseph was like quoting every, you know, year, that dream is going to come to pass. I will be, you know, ruling over my brothers. No, I don't think so. And that's not to say we shouldn't quote promises from God, but it says when his brothers 17 years later were before him bowing down, it says, Joseph remembered the dream. It's like, oh my gosh, it happened. God was faithful. Psalm 105, verse 19, it's on your sheet. Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. All right? So if we get back to the outline, did you get number 5? Jesus is actually the satisfaction that people are looking for. So next, when life is hard, through no fault of your own, count your blessings. And then God, taking a long time to answer our prayers, tests us. Anyone who walks with God for any length of time will find themselves being tested about their circumstances, that God is not doing what you thought or hoped he would do. And so we need to recognize that and say, okay, this is a time to practice what? Gratitude, giving thanks, not focusing on what hasn't happened, but focusing on what God has done for me, which is what the psalmist says, right? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. When things are hard, is God's faithful love still enduring? Yes. Did Jesus say, once you believe in me, nothing will ever go wrong in your life? No, he said, in the world, you will have tribulation. But what? Take courage. I've overcome the world. And when you're in Christ, you overcome the world. That's why I love the King James Version. It says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. It's like, oh, is there somebody out there who will thank God, who will praise him? Somebody, you know, and I'm like, yeah, I want to be that person. I want to be the person who thanks God. I want to be the person when things go wrong, I still thank God. Are you with me? Now, the second group of people in distress says they rebelled against the words of God and scorned or rejected his counsel. And as a result, I should read this. Verse 12, that is why he broke them with hard labor. They fell. No one was there to help them. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble. And God said, well, too bad you rebelled against me. Oh, I'm sorry, you sinned. Suffer. Oh, that's not what it says. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble. He saved them from their distress. He led them from the darkness and deepest gloom. He snapped their chains. Let them praise the Lord for his great love, for the wonderful things he has done for them. For he broke down their prison gates of bronze. He cut apart their bars of iron. I love this. Have you ever felt miserable or like you're in the chains of despair? Stuck in darkness? Can you remember a time where you ignored God's word? Someone gave you good counsel, your parents or another Christian. You said, I'm just going to do what I want to do. And then what happens? You're in distress. Things go wrong. You were stupid. So our reaction to that is like, well, God just wants me to keep suffering. Actually, God wants you to call on him for help. So we see here that, number eight, we get in distress when we rebel against God. But the next point, God will humble us and then gladly what? Deliver us or help us when we cry out to him. God's in the business of helping people. That's what we saw Jesus do, right? Jesus went from place to place to place. And everywhere he went, he preached the good news and healed people and forgave people and ministered to people everybody else said were wicked and useless and whatever, low life. Jesus didn't see it that way. You know, the Pharisees said, we're going to keep ourselves holy and everybody else keep them at arm's length. And Jesus said, well, go learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. So God's full of mercy. That's what Jesus did. Whoever calls in the name of the Lord, Scripture says, will be what? Saved. Is that only when you're not a Christian? No, it's any time. Any time we're in a pickle or we've got ourselves in distress or it happened without our doing, like Joseph, call on the name of the Lord. Set your heart towards him. He led them from darkness and deepest gloom. He snapped their chains. I love that song that we sing. There's power in the name of Jesus. What's it going to say? He breaks every chain, breaks every chain, breaks every chain. And there's something about singing that over and over again that gets into your heart. And it gives you faith for your situation. That's why worship is important. When we sing these songs of truth, it plants something of truth in us. That will come to us when we need it. Let's look at the third group of people in distress. This is verse 17. Some were fools. They rebelled and suffered for their sins. Does the Bible like sugarcoat things? No, it just says, no, they were fools. They suffered for their sins. They couldn't stand the thought of food. They're knocking on death's door. So what did they do? Lord, help, they cried in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent his word and healed them, snatching them from the door of death. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he has done for them. Let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and sing joyfully about his glorious acts. Okay, think again. Can you ever remember a time when you were suffering for your own sins? For your own foolishness. I mean, sometimes we do things and then there's consequences. So are we stuck there? Is there no escape? God's just going to let punish us. No, he allows our humbling to happen so that we call on his name for help. Lord, help me. I was foolish. I sinned. I was stupid. I'm sorry. God loves that prayer. So the Lord, what? He answered them. He saved them. He sent his word and healed them. The Jews were in exile for a long time. Daniel read that the time appointed, according to Jeremiah, was 70 years. And during that 70 years, even though they were in exile, God said, seek the welfare of the city you're in, for I have plans for you for welfare and not calamity, to give you a future and a hope. So even in the midst of their exile, God was speaking hope to them. God said, I can bless you where you are right now. But at the appropriate time, and Daniel saw that, so he's fasting and praying for it to happen, God sent his word, boom. Cyrus comes up, he's the new king, and he sends the people back. It happens. So a lot of us, we can be in that situation where we're being tested. We're waiting for God to move. We're waiting for God to show up. And in the meantime, what are we supposed to do? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. All right, I caught some of you off guard on that one. Let's try it again. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Amen. Is there any bar that Jesus can't break? Any gate of bronze that he can't knock down? No. He has all the power. I can remember a time where I was foolish. I ran a farm for a couple years, and numerous people warned me about how dangerous farming is, particularly riding tractors. Tractors, especially on a hillside, can roll over. And farmers get terribly injured or even die because tractors roll over on them. So one time I was had a small tractor, and it had a machine, an arm out that cut the weeds and the hay and grass. So it was a meadow that we used for grazing. And so I was a very steep hill. And the smart thing to do is you go straight up the hill, and then you turn around and come straight down the hill. But sort of along the base, I was just cutting alongside the hill and then coming back the other way. And it was kind of working. I'm like, oh, I'm doing okay on the side of the hill. And all of a sudden, I'm coming back along the side of the hill, and the left uphill back wheel is starting to lift off the ground. So I'm like, uh-oh, it's going to roll over on me, just like everybody said it would. So I'm hanging on to the wheel, and I'm leaning back to my left, and I put the clutch in, and somehow I manage to put it in reverse, and I go backwards exactly the way I came, and the back slowly comes back down, and I get out. I'm like, God had mercy on me. But the tractor could have rolled. Praise God. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. You don't know who might have been pastoring up here. You might have been having to listen to some real Yahoo from Pennsylvania or something. Lord, help, they cried. He saved them from their distress. How many of you know someone who's complaining about how hard their life is and blaming God when in fact they're just suffering the consequences of bad decisions? Yeah, we all know people like that. There's a couple Proverbs here that came to mind. Proverbs 14:12. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Look at this next one, Proverbs 13:21. Adversity pursues sinners. What's Solomon saying? He's just saying, when you live a certain way, yeah, adversity pursues you. But the righteous will be rewarded with what? Prosperity. God wants to prosper people. But he calls us to turn to him, to live according to his wisdom. One of the hardest things we have to do, this was as a pastor, I have to do it because it's my job. About the second year as a pastor, one of my friends said, Dave, like, you know, you're a pastor now. Like, how's that going? What, you know, what's hard about it? I said, you know, the hardest thing about being a pastor is confronting people when they sin. You know, people come to me for help. They say, Dave, I'm feeling this way. All this is going on. I'm like, well, you know, you kind of need to, like, change this, or that decision was really a bad decision. And that's not my nature. Some of you don't believe that, but for a long time, like, I grew up in a family, we didn't confront each other. And so that was really hard for me to tell people what they needed to hear. But God says, speak the truth with what? With love. So I had to learn to do that. But I knew that if I did that, they could be helped. Things could get better for them. There's hope when you live Jesus' way. Okay, he goes on and he talks about, let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving. In Leviticus 7, there's actually a peace offering called a thanksgiving offering. That may be what he's referring to. But there's also a sacrifice of thanksgiving for us today where it's hard to thank the Lord. But if everything's going great and you thank the Lord, is there any special credit in that? No. Because people who don't believe in God are happy when things are going well. So that's what Jesus said. If you lend expecting something in return, well, sinners do that. So give, don't expect anything in return. Then God's honored. So when we praise him, recounting his goodness in the midst of bad things, of difficulty, he's honored. All right, let's get back to our outline. Did you get number 9? God will humble us and then gladly deliver us. We did that. We often suffer for our own sins and then we blame the Lord. And then this point I just made, thanking God when things go wrong honors him. If there's one thing we learn from this passage, it's this. Our God can rescue us from any and every situation. No matter how bad, no matter how difficult, no matter how foolish I've been, no matter if it's something that had nothing to do with me, it's people are sinning against me and I'm suffering, God can rescue you. Lord, help is a prayer that he loves to answer. Paul and Silas are in jail. Had they done anything wrong? No, they were telling people about Jesus. They got beaten for it. They're thrown in jail. They're actually in stocks. Their feet and their hands are clamped down with like wooden clamps. What'd they decide to do? Well, it says, let's read this. It's Acts 16, 25 to 26. It's the next to the last scripture in your outline. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there came a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison house were shaken. Immediately, all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were unfastened. Sometimes breaking every chain comes from thanking God and praising him. But what I like here is, one, Paul practices what the Bible teaches and what he taught. Two, what were the prisoners doing? They were listening. It's a witness to people when you're thanking God in the midst of suffering, because that's not normal. Hallelujah. You say, no, my God is good. The fourth group of people in distress. People are caught in a great storm. It says they're plying the trade routes of the world. They too observe the Lord's power in action, his impressive works on the deepest seas. He spoke, the winds rose, stirring up the waves. Their ships were tossed to the heavens, plunged into the depths. The sailors cringed in terror. They reeled and staggered like drunkards, were at their wits' end. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble. He saved them from their distress. He calmed the storm to a whisper and stilled the waves. What a blessing was that stillness as he brought them safely into harbor. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and the wonderful things he's done for them. Let them exalt him publicly before the congregation and before the leaders of the nation. Has anyone ever been caught in a storm at sea? I have not. I've seen lots of movies about it. A close friend of mine, Keith Marsh, he and his dad were sailing. They used to live in Florida. They had a medium-sized sailboat. You could go out. They got caught in a hurricane because they were sailing down. And he said for like 2 or 3 days, they were just like batting down the hatches. And they would go up and they'd come down. And he was a teenager. He was scared to death. His dad kept saying, son, we're going to get through. We're going to get through. And they did. God brought them to a safe harbor. He's alive today. And years later, he asked his dad, he goes, Dad, did you really think we were like going to get through all that time? He goes, well, not really. But I kept telling you, we're going to get through. Wow, do you think they were thanking God for his goodness? Like, hallelujah. In the letter of Philippians, where Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Where is he when he writes that? He's in jail. He's in chains. Look at verse 4, 12 to 13. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. You're in jail. You've got shackles on you. You're surrounded by soldiers and a wall instead of a nice home. Your companion is probably rats and mice and all kinds of difficult things. Yet Paul had an ability to be content in any situation. So that's the next point. We must learn the secret of being content in every situation. Max Lucado said this, what you have in Christ is greater than anything you don't have in life. Do you believe that? Yeah,
I do too.
So here's a guy. So a person in the world would look at a guy in jail and shackles saying, well, why are you writing? You know, like, you're a loser. Your God obviously can't help you. Or, you know, that would be their natural reaction. You're in chains. You're abandoned. You're suffering. So what was Paul rejoicing in? He focused on a different list. He had eternal life. He had the love of God. He had forgiveness of sins. You're a son or a daughter of the Most High. Your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. You've been delivered from death, from hell. You're going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, when you stand before the Lord one day. And when you learn to focus on that and be content in that, you become a powerful person. Not in the world's sense of being powerful, but you're strong. Paul said, hey, when I'm weak, then I'm strong because God's grace is perfected in me. Can death take our joy? No, Jesus is greater than death. Can failure take our joy? No, Jesus is greater than our failures or our sin. Can betrayal take our joy? No, Jesus will never leave us or forsake us. Can sickness take our joy? No, God's promised, whether in this side of the grave or the other, to heal us. Can disappointment take our joy? No, because though our plans may not work out, we know God's plan will. God worked out his plans for Joseph. God worked out his plans for Paul and Silas. He will work out his plans for you. You can bank on that. What you have in Christ is greater than anything you don't have. Can we get the worship team to come up, please? My last point is, when I read this passage about how the Lord calmed the storm to a whisper, he stilled the waves, or another translation says the waves were hushed, what immediately comes to your mind? Yeah, it's disciples in the boat. There's a huge storm. Water's coming in the boat. The boat's sinking. They're scared. And they say, Lord, don't you care that we're going to drown? And Jesus stands up. He rebukes the wind. And then he says to the waves, hush, be still. The God who stills the waves is your Lord. The God with the authority to quiet the sea is your Savior. The disciples were freaking out. They're like, who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey him? Hallelujah. There's an old hymn that says, be still, my soul. The winds and waves still know the voice of him who ruled them while he dwelt below. So I've asked if the worship team could sing that hymn for us to close. Are you good, Harley? That would have been a great ending, but it's not going to happen. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. All right. I didn't inform Ed, so that was my bad. I'm sure the worship song has a great song for us to close to.
Technical snafu.
All right, let me pray for you, though. Lord, I just want to pray for us that we would know you always have everything under control. There's nothing too hard for you. And what you're looking for is, Lord, help me. You're looking for us to look to you, and you will act on our behalf. Thank you. Thank you that you're bigger than our failures. Thank you you don't hold our sins against us. Thank you you desire to prosper us and bring us out of darkness into your light, into your goodness. Father, teach us how to be content in every situation and to keep on thanking you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's stand together.
Amen. So stay tuned for that hymn. So I had a couple songs that we would be good for us to close with. And in the message, the message kept going back and forth between the two songs. And Luke said, after a third time, he said, that's the third reference. We got to do that song. And so, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to sing the refrain from There's Power in the Name of Jesus to Break Every Chain. And then we're going to sing that familiar song, but a few songs really express it this well. Blessed be your name when it's plentiful or when you're in the desert place. Okay, can we do that? So we're going to just start with this power in the name of Jesus.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain.
Sing that one more time.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power.